Pastor Gene will be speaking to us this morning out of Matthew 28. Pastor Gene, I do not in any way question your gusto, but I don't think you're going to get from verse 18 to verse 2018. I'll go ahead and read through 20, though, for you. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You may be seated.
Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. Thank you, Kyle, for reading about the shekels and so forth. Appreciate that. There's a lot of shekels going on, let me tell you. I had the first shift on that one, as he mentioned, you know. Yeah. Well, pleasure to be here this morning. A little out of my comfort zone, but that's okay. That's where the Lord likes us to be occasionally in our lives, right? Pastor Mark and Lori are back in Virginia at Homesteaders Convention area and just learned some other activities to do at their homestead. This is kind of a message that's about the grace of God in the lives and ministry of Athletes in Action with Francis and myself. So it has a lot of scripture in it, not just the Great Commission, which is the highlight of the message, really. We are very amazed, honored, blessed, and awed by being able to be part of God's grace and work in our lives and ministry for the last 56 years. What a God we serve. We never could have imagined that God would accomplish in using a team of wrestlers and their wives who said yes to Him. We all took the challenge of using the platform of wrestling to share Christ for a 2-year commitment. Most of us stayed a lot longer, like us, and some stayed shorter and then went into other various ministries or other particular jobs. When we joined Campus Crusade, Dr. Bill Bright was our president of Campus Crusade for Christ. He challenged us with the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." When we make disciples, we have to share the Lord with them. We have to share the gospel with them. They have to become a Christian before they can become a disciple. So that's critical. Evangelism and discipleship is what we've been doing for all the years that we've been with Campus Crusade. It seemed like a very big challenge to go, you know, throughout all nations. You know, we started with a wrestling team, and we just made a tour around the United States, wrestling colleges and universities and so forth. And we weren't really thinking about the world that much. Eventually, that came about, though. My story, I grew up on a small farm in Missoula, Montana, about 5 miles out of town. And I would say that sports were a big part of my life growing up. The Johnson boys lived across the street, and every sports season, we would do whatever that sport was. Almost to the day, we would change over from basketball to track and field to football and so forth, you know. And a little hockey down on the pond when the ice was frozen good enough. So that was a big part of my life, in school as well. Grew up on a river, so spent a lot of time on that river, fishing and hunting and rafting and doing a lot of different things like that. I had, even from a young age, I had full access to all the firearms in my house, and with the directions from my father that you better have a good background if you're going to shoot that thing, okay? So I was very careful. I was very careful, I tell you, really was. Some of the things I was involved in school, after school, there was a weekly Bible club that Miss Clark and Miss Simonson led, and I remember going there and learning about Jesus, and on flannel boards. Ooh, that might date you. No, it does date me, and I am dated. But going to Sunday school and church at our little Covenant Church with my older brother. When I became 12, many things happened, it seemed like, in my life, and I won't name them all because it's too many to mention, but some of them were we ended up getting about 3 pigs, and I ended up taking care of basically the pigs, and we butchered a couple of the hogs in the fall and bred the sow and had 8 babies that spring, which was pretty fun, except for the fact my dad said, now when the sow has her babies, she's not your friend anymore. Well, of course, I got to check it out and make sure. He was right. I had to clear the fence a couple of times, and then I took him for his word. I decided that I wanted to get rich that summer at 12 years old. So I said to my dad, I said, I think I want to plant some corn and sell the corn. He said, well, how big an area you want? I said, well, the whole 2 acres. And he goes, are you sure? I said, in fact, I think he said sleep on that, you know, and then come back, which I did, and I came back, and I decided that was a good thing to do. Man, it was a lot of work, but a lot of fun as well. And I made $33 that summer. Doesn't sound like much now, but it lasted me for 2 years, so I was somewhat frugal. Most importantly, I went to a summer camp up on Flathead Lake, just north of Missoula. And at that camp, somebody took some time and explained the gospel to me and told me that I could know God in a personal way through the person of Jesus Christ. And I asked him into my life at that time. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. My brother was 5 years older than I was, and he paid my way to the church camp. I think in hope that it might save me a little bit and might change me a little bit. We were pitching some hay earlier in the summer, and he was teasing me quite a bit, and I didn't really take kindly to being teased that much. So I took the pitchfork and I threw it at him. Fortunately, I missed. And so he decided I needed to go to church camp really bad. And I did, and it was enjoyable being there, but just to see what God started in my life was important. One of the changes that happened in my life was that I began to have more of a love for my folks and my brother. And another one was that I had less anger and my temper was less. Not gone, but less. Francis came to the Lord about that same time at another camp on Flathead Lake. We didn't know each other at that time. She went to Grace Brethren Church. As I went through high school and college, I kind of struggled with the idea of totally committing my life to Christ, totally yielding my life to Christ, thinking that if I did, it might take away from my competitive edge or my strength relative to the sport of wrestling. I started wrestling when I was 13. As a freshman in high school. I found that the more I was willing to give of myself to Christ, the better off I was, not only on the wrestling mat, doesn't mean I won them all, but also just on every area of my life, the idea of yielding to the Lord. The idea of a total athlete, you know, one that's not just physical and mental, but mental, physical, and spiritual. I think it's important. That was to be in my estimation, a true champion. My brother wrestled in high school and mentioned that might be a good thing for me to do. So one summer, he took me outside on the lawn. It wasn't much of a wrestling mat, but it was a lawn, and taught me three moves. And so I headed into my freshman year, three moves ahead of all the other 12 95-pounders that came out for wrestling. And so the wrestling coach, Jug Back, was also the physical education teacher. And he was smart because he would have a little section of wrestling before the wrestling season started. It's called recruiting. You know, it was legal there to do that kind of thing. So I would say to him, before we had that little section of wrestling, I said, Mr. Beck, when's wrestling start? So when's wrestling? It starts in November, you know. And then he had that section, and I had three moves. Nobody else had any moves. And I was doing those moves on the guys, and bearing in mind, I'm 95 pounds, right? And he said, who you been working with? I said, my brother, Jerry Davis. He said, wrestling starts November 17th. You be there. I said, I plan to. That started a lifelong, fairly successful wrestling career by God's grace. The state tournament that year was at our high school, Missoula County High School, and I won my first state title there. Francis was in the eighth grade, we're the same age, but she was a year behind me in school. And her class was excused to come and watch the wrestling, which was pretty cool. I liked that idea. And, you know, she saw me wrestling, you know what? And it was love at first sight. Okay, well, not quite at first sight. We met. We actually met about 2 years later, actually. And we met when we were 16 and dated for 4 years. I went on to Oklahoma State and wrestled there. And my sophomore year, I made the team. Freshmen weren't allowed to compete as in varsity at that time, which I wouldn't have made the team anyway, so don't feel too sorry for me, you know. My freshman year, a staff member with Campus Crusade for Christ came by my dorm, and I was studying, and I think I had my door open, so he just knocked and asked if he'd come in and ask if I was a believer, and I said I was. And he just asked me if I was interested in growing in my faith. I said, sure. He said, well, can we meet? And I said, that'd be great. I'd love to. I think we met most of that rest of that year. Also, Campus Crusade for Christ had a weekly meeting that I would go to, and I would bring a few wrestlers, if I could, along with me, and had different opportunities to give my testimony at various functions during that year and the next year as well. And going back to my friend that came, he shared with me a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit at that time. And I wasn't too knowledgeable about, you know, what type of ministry the Holy Spirit has in our lives. But it was very helpful to me to know that it was important to be filled with God's Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. Also, I was active in a church there in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and and attended a Bible study taught by a fellow named Russ McKnight, who later became a good friend and mentor. And when we moved to Oklahoma City years after that, a few years after that, with our Athletes in Action team, he was there in a church, and he was a very good teacher as well. And we just got to know him a lot, and he later joined Athletes in Action, actually, and traveled overseas with us and so forth. Just a neat guy. Only thing wrong with him was he was a Sooner, so. But I think he might get in heaven anyway, you know. He would say the same thing about me at the time. Frances and I were married in June in Montana after my junior year and after her sophomore year. And we both obviously went back to Oklahoma State together. And that was a fun year, you know, because we had a dynamite wrestling team. And we were pretty close, so we'd wrestle our matches and stuff, and then we'd all go to somebody's apartment and have some food and something to drink and just enjoy each other and stuff too. So she saw that and saw some of the fans down there that were fairly fanatical, actually, but pretty good. That was a fun time being down there. So after graduation, we were figuring out what we wanted to do, and she had about 2 years worth of University of Montana in home economics training so far. And so we were thinking about it'd be good to go back there, but didn't think there would be what I needed, and that was to to need, give me one second here. I got a little ahead of myself. Need a grad assistantship in physical education. And it was physical education, recreation, and health at that particular time. And so I wanted one of those, which made, it was kind of like a scholarship. You worked for them, teaching, and then there was one that came up. Now, we didn't have the internet exactly back in those days, but there was one that came up, and it was at the University of Montana with a physical education assistantship and coaching the wrestling team. You want to know what the odds are on that? They're very low. And so we're just talking about God's grace here again, you know, looking at that and seeing what he allowed us to do. So we went back to Missoula, Montana, and it was a great year because my folks were alive, my brother was alive, her folks were in the area still. They took off for Alaska not too long after that, and we had a great year. She carried 22 hours one summer, the summer after that particular year, and got straight A's in everything, and we went to the lake every weekend. I think she was doing some studying at the lake too, actually, but that was a fun time anyway. So that same year, we were being recruited by Athletes in Action to start this crazy wrestling team idea. And we actually had a couple that came from Seattle all the way over to Missoula to talk to us and stuff. And he was a little bit strange. Well, he wasn't a wrestler, so he was a little bit strange trying to recruit wrestlers when you're not a wrestler. It's not always easy. So anyway, we talked to them, and I didn't think it would work. It didn't sound like it was something that really would work, you know. And so I didn't think much of it. Francis all along was pretty sure we were going to do this, and told my mom that that was the case as well. Neither one of them told me, but they had it all figured out behind the scenes. You know, you women, sometimes that happens, right? You got to watch it all the time. And then you start praying, then we're really in trouble, right? So that year, that March, I went back to the NCAA Wrestling Championships at Penn State, and just happened to run into a fellow named Larry Amundson, who was wrestling for Mankato State in that tournament, and ended up getting second place there, did a nice job. And we ended up having lunch together. We were riding together and stuff, and he said, we were talking about this Athletes in Action deal. He goes, what do you think of it? I said, well, I don't know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, you know. And then he probably asked me, well, will you do that, do you think? I said, both of us said, no, I don't think so. No way. That fall, we're both on the team. I think it had something to do with somebody's prayers, you know. And that was started, you know, and we've been together for all those 56 years, remarkably. We each have four kids and lots of grandkids. That summer, also, I was close to the top as far as the numbers go when it had to do with the draft. Not everybody knows what the draft is, but that's when they draft you into the Army, when the Vietnam War is raging. I'd already passed my physical, and I was processing some application papers for the Army Officers Training School in Fort Lewis, Washington, so I could be an officer if I did go in. About that time, that summer, I went over to a wrestling camp in Washington put on by Myron Roderick, my college coach, and ran into a fellow named Mitsu Nakai, who had just come from Arrowhead Springs down to California, that just finished all the training with the wrestling team that was getting ready to launch this year. And they went through staff training, which was about 3 weeks, and 4 weeks of the Institute of Biblical Studies, which was very good. We missed both of those. And Mitsu, but when we were talking to Mitsu, he said, "We heard that you people were talking to you about this team. How come you haven't done that?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure. We just said it didn't so far." He said, "Well, you know what? You need to call John Klein and go on down there to Arrowhead Springs." And that was in San Bernardino. And I said, "Well, all right." You know, we had planned a trip from Missoula to Oklahoma City for my roommate's wedding. So I guess we could take a shortcut through California and go ahead and go on over to that wedding. So we went ahead and did that, and we actually heard Dr. Bright speak at a lay institute as well down there. And we said, and we were being interviewed and so forth, and we said, "You know, we got one major problem. That is that we're about ready to get drafted." They said, "There is such a thing as a ministerial deferment." I never heard of a ministerial deferment. They said, "Well, why don't you see what happens?" They gave us one. We signed it, filled it all out, sent it in, went to Oklahoma, went back to Montana. By the time we got back to Montana, the deferment was in the mail, which is really fast for the government, right? So that started a whole different direction, of course, in our whole life. This was the start of using wrestling to reach people for Christ. We were challenged to help fulfill the Great Commission, as I mentioned in the introduction. We joined staff, but Frances needed to finish up her student teaching that fall in Missoula. So I went down to Arrowhead and was with a bunch of single guys in this cabin area that we ended up doing a lot of work on to get it functional and stuff, but that was fun. And traveled with the team for that first part. Ended up having knee surgery back in Montana and spring break, or Christmas break then. And then she was done with her school. And then we went on down to California. On a little sidelight, we are forever grateful to God for leading us to join Athletes in Action. Our marriage right then was not in a great place. Examples of our staff, mandatory counseling session that to join staff, several family life marriage conferences that we were able to attend were a great help to us. And just growing in His Word and growing in the realization that we are sinners and that we need God's help in our marriage and our whole life as well. All of our four sons were born on staff. They are Mark, Sean, Paul, Ryan. We have 9 grandchildren aged 3 to 27. So I got a pretty big range there. Back to the ministry of our AI competing team, I was only competing, I was not only wrestling on the team, but I was also coaching on the team for 16 years. And, you know, when you're doing two jobs like that, sometimes you don't do either one of them real good, but it was a challenge to do that, but I finally figured out some things that helped me to do that and stuff. But we were fortunate to have a really high-level team, so the coaches in the country love to have us come and compete against them. And not only did they love that, the competition, but they loved if we hung around for two or three days and worked out with our guys, because that was new guys, and we were pretty strong, so we were able to help them some. And we were also able to sit around on the wrestling room after the match, or after the practice was over, and share the Lord with them. And many of the wrestlers at that time came to know the Lord. And some of them actually joined us with Athletes in Action for years to come after that particular point. So in the beginning, you know, there's never been a team like that, ever. You know, a Christian wrestling team that toured around and stuff. So we did a lot of pioneering, you know. We tried something. If it worked, we kept doing it. If it didn't work, we didn't do it anymore, you know. Or at least we shouldn't have done it anymore. I don't think we did, actually. But also, you know, it was pretty neat because wrestling doesn't have a halftime. Basketball's got a halftime, but wrestling doesn't have a halftime. So we initiated a halftime. So we'd wrestle five matches and then take a break. And those days, we were able to give a little clip on what Athletes in Action was. One of our guys would give a testimony, and another guy would share the entire gospel message at our wrestling match. We would send out comment cards, and people would fill out those cards, and we'd collect them, and we'd either follow up by, if we were around long enough, follow up by going and seeing the people or calling them and stuff. And then, we'd give it to the staff that are there on the campuses and stuff. And so they ended up following them up after in that situation. I remember being at one of our earlier matches at my alma mater, Oklahoma State, and given my testimony there. Well, I had wrestled there for 4 years, you know, and I knew quite a few of those fans and stuff. And so it was a little challenging to give my testimony there, but the Lord saw me through. So we'd go to a college campus and wrestle, like I said, and work out with them and so forth. And, so I already said those things. So they join Athletes in Action. So Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So, you know, I think this is a great verse. These verses were really important for us to know. It's important to work hard. And when we had a team, when we showed up at a wrestling match, those people expected us to be ready for those matches, to be physically conditioned, mentally conditioned, and then a number of us were speaking, so spiritually conditioned as well. And it was not easy being on the road for weeks at a time, trying to maintain that conditioning. You know, we would do a lot of running alongside the roads. We would be in a hotel and run the stairs, or a lot of times go in the parking lot and do some pummeling and stuff. So it was not an easy thing. A couple of wrestlers that came to know the Lord through our wrestling team. We worked out at Long Beach State for about 4 years or so. And Don Zellmer and Joe Zeller came to know the Lord through our team. And both of them eventually joined us. And Don's got quite a story. He was a pretty much of a wild man before he came to Christ. And he would smoke pot with his mom and various things like that is all, when it wasn't always that popular in those days. But, you know, when he traveled with our team, these guys just didn't know a stranger at all, you know. And we went overseas, and he kind of fell in love with Poland when we visited there. And so he ended up going back there years later and ministering and married a lady from Poland. And now lives in Colorado Springs, works a lot with the Air Force Academy, and some in the AI International Ministry. Another one was Steve Barrett, who wrestled at Oklahoma State, like myself, who was the same weight class as I was a national champion there, and just wrote a book called The Unlikely Missionary. And Larry Amundson and I recruited him. Larry and I just tried to recruit him and stuff. And he finally was able to come on our team. And he said, Gene, I do some wrestling, but I don't do no speaking. I said, well, Steve, speaking is part of the deal. He said, we'll train you. You'll be okay. So he wrote a book that's probably about 200 pages long, and now you can't shut him up. But neat guy. We're on a weekly Zoom meeting together, and he's grown tremendously in his walk with the Lord, and has had quite a ministry with our team. Then moved with the European team moved to Austria. Then later to Russia, and then later he moved to Mongolia. So he's been very active and speaks fluent Russian as well. In those days, we were all pretty young in our faith, so the growing curve was pretty high for sure. Philippians 2, 3 through 11 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, reminds us to reminds us to lay aside sin in our life, run the race set before us with endurance, and look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and seated at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. These are important reminders for us when we were traveling about 10 to 12,000 miles a year, most of the time in cars. We occasionally acted like porcupines. We needled each other. Philippians 4, 11 through 12, 13 says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstances. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." We also did on our trips and stuff a lot of other extra speaking that the staff might line up, like high school assemblies, prison visits, military bases. Often we would take challenge matches with various groups. We usually won the challenges. With all of them, we were at least able to give our testimonies, if not the gospel message as well. We had a lot of open doors in those days. Not so much open doors in the United States now. We may go to jail if we do the things we used to do there. During this time, we also had a women's singing group that Francis joined. They would sing and witness at sororities on the campuses and other speaking that the staff lined up. We also conducted Athletes in Action wrestling camps all over the United States and then internationally later on. We lived in California the first year, Oklahoma City the 4 years after that, then back to California for another 11 years. Then we've been here in Colorado Springs for 40 years. As a side note, we also met Patricia Glazner and her family in California about 45 years ago. She is an aunt to our boys. Our team would have opportunities to wrestle in the national open championships. Not college, but the open, meaning Olympic style and international style and so forth. We were able to win two national championships in 1971 and 1975. Eventually, some of our guys would be on Pan Am and World and Olympic teams representing our country. All these were opportunities to witness as well. The first overseas trip that any of us with AI took was in 1971. Greg Hicks, one of the original members of our team, and I were on the world team competing in Bulgaria. That was our first look at communism. We ran into a guy, his name was Christopher, and just got to visit with him a little bit, spoke good English, and so I think we were looking for something to drink or something, and we didn't have the Bulgarian language down very good, let me tell you. We talked a little bit. He said, "Let's not talk here. Come to my apartment." And so we went to the apartment and talked to him and said, he told about his life of confinement. You know, that he couldn't really get out of Bulgaria, because he wasn't a communist. And then he said, "The only reason I buy the newspaper is to check the date, because it's all a bunch of lies," which is interesting. And not too long after we got in there, his landlord came by and knocked on the door, and he said to him, "Who are those people, and what are they doing here?" Big Brother was watching, that's for sure. The first international trip we took with Athletes in Action team was in 1978 to Iran and to Bulgaria. there was a really great tournament there in Tehran. It's called the Iron Cup, and the Shah was ruling at the time. At the presentations of the medals and stuff, his kids actually gave out the medals. We did have a chance to visit just a real small, maybe 15 people church there in Tehran. Very secretly, we visited. We also drove to for a dual meet to a place called Ghazvin in Iran with our crusade director. The traffic rules definitely were different down there. Sometimes you'd be driving down the road and the traffic would be coming this way and this way on either side of you, which was a little scary. That didn't seem to bother them any, you know, but bothered us a little bit. So anyway, we ended up having this wrestling match at this place, and I think part of the entry fee was you had to buy two packages of cigarettes and smoke inside, because you'd go inside like that and you couldn't even warm up because there was so much smoke inside this thing. And so we would go outside to warm up and then come in and wrestle and stuff. So it was kind of wild. But it was a little bit interesting because normally you line up and you go across the mat and shake hands with the guy that you're going to wrestle and so forth. And we had a bigger coin that had basically the gospel printed very small on it. And so we had one of these coins for them. And so normally they, being the host, they'll have a gift for us. Well, they didn't have a gift, but that was okay. We didn't think anything of it, you know. So they had a halftime too in their match. So we wrestled about halfway, and the referee blew the whistle, and the mayor of the town came up to the middle of the mat, and they lined us up. Well, you line up in Iran, you want to be careful why you're lining up. But so anyway, they gave us all a solid gold coin with the Shah's head on it. We still have it, actually. In case things get really bad, we can sell it, I guess, or something. I don't know. But never know how many read that in English, of course, with our coin. But it was interesting to find that. Okay, launching, going on. The next year, we went back again the next year to Iran for that same tournament, which was a tremendous tournament. The atmosphere was totally different, and you guys will remember probably a lot what was going on. There was growing unrest in the country. So we were a couple of days there early, so we were running up in the mountains and just getting a good workout in and stuff. Notice some of the military is down, kind of target practice and then stuff, and then we're pretty much at the top of this mountain, and all of a sudden we were hearing these bullets zinging over our heads and stuff. We decided, we're not too smart, we're wrestlers, we decided it's not a good idea to stay there. So we went clear on the other side of the mountain and got out of there, you know. So I don't know if they knew we were Americans. I think they probably did, and they wanted to scare us or whatever they were going to do anyway. But so the next day, the tournament was going to be in a couple of days. So the next day, Larry Amundson and I were at the training center, and they wanted us to go with the delegation over to the Shah's grandfather's mausoleum. And we did go over there and put a wreath on the mausoleum and stuff. I had never seen anything so beautiful in my life. It was green marble, and it was huge and just beautiful. But we got back in the van and headed back to the center. And the wrestling officials said to us, we got some bad news. And they said, well, what's happening? Well, some terrorists broke into the dormitories of the wrestlers, and they said, if you wrestle in this tournament, you will die. So they all left. So they decided to cancel the tournament, and they said, you have 1 hour to leave. We're not responsible for your safety. And so being as smart as we were, we decided to go to the U.S. Embassy and check with them. And they said, the one that was overthrown 2 months later, they said, what do you want us to do? Well, we said, well, we're Americans. Maybe you could house us or until we can get out of here. Well, a lot of the other dependents were trying to get out of there as well. So they weren't able to help us. So we spent 3 days and three nights in the flat of our interpreter, a small apartment. He had, Abbas was his name. He had a family of four, and there were 16 of us. So there, we just slept wherever we could possibly sleep, and it wasn't the most comfortable, but we appreciated him. We bought all the groceries, so that's for sure. So so eventually then we flew to Poland on this particular trip. Another scripture from Revelation is particularly interesting, I think. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. Many of you know this, probably have it memorized. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That just reminds me of eternal worship in heaven with saints from all over the world, and the importance of trying to reach those all over the world. This is a verse that we picture whenever we are traveling internationally or hosting internationals at our home. During these years, too, I also had a chance to coach a lot of international U.S. teams. Some were Olympic and world teams. In the summers, Francis and the kids would join us and at the camps and stuff, which was a lot of fun. The next few years, we began sending out AI international tours to many parts of the world, actually. And we would recruit high school and college and post-college wrestlers and bring them into town. Some of you might remember we'd show up with about 20. Usually it was Father's Day, actually, when we had that camp. And Francis and I ended up doing those teams for 12 years straight. So what a fun time. A lot of work, awful lot of work, but fun time. We're still in touch with some of those guys, and they are also in touch with some of their other buddies and stuff that they met there. We had our training camp at the camp up in Ponderosa in Monument, and a lot of our local staff and pastors would help. Pastor Mark actually taught, and he taught on the Holy Spirit, which was excellent. Okay. Another one of the team members that would come on those international teams, he actually went 7 straight years. Nobody else ever went 7 straight years, but he did. He went as a wrestler, went as a discipler, a coach, a team leader, and eventually he and his wife joined staff, and now he's the wrestling director with Athletes in Action. So he's done a fantastic job. Because of our wrestling involvement, we've also had opportunities to have ministry at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center for almost 40 years. USA Wrestling Body is headquartered here in the Springs as well. And we have a weekly Bible study at the training center and also some individual discipleship meetings and stuff too. Some of our top national teams train there from time to time and also national teams from many countries sometimes come here. It's very expensive to stay down there, so a lot of times they like to have people host them, so we're able to host teams quite often, which gives us a pretty good opportunity to witness to them as well. Suke from Mongolia was one example of that. He was with us for about 3 months at one time, came to church here and so forth, and he's now he actually started the Athletes in Action in Mongolia and is doing a good job. Okay, one more side note. I've heard people say when they get much older, I have no regrets. Let me see a hand if anybody can say that here. Do you have no regrets at all in your life or anything? Well, that's good because you're in good company. I just hear that and I just kind of find it hard to believe. For me, I have regrets. I've done terrible things. I've done things wrong. And I wish I had it to do over again. I don't have it to do over again, but what I do have is the future, to not do it anymore and to repent from those type of activities that I'm not very proud of. I'm also thankful for 1 John 1, 8 through 10, right? We know that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This too is God's grace, God's grace that he does forgive sins, that we can confess our sins and he will forgive us. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, 8, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Francis and I have had the opportunity to be at 10 Olympic Games. I know we're not that old, but we can make that many, but because they're 4 years apart. I mean, after all, you know. During those trips, we participate in Athletes in Action Olympic Project. Come back in April, at the April praise service, and hear more about those projects, because we're on for the opportunity to share at the praise service. Our upcoming Path to Paris project this summer and who some of the Christian competitors are for coming up to come to the Bible study at the training center. The Wrestling Olympic Trials will be next weekend, so we're going to be paying close attention and praying especially for the Christian wrestlers there. Also hear about how we will contact, we'll be in contact with some of our AI staff and alumni. Many of the men and women on these wrestling teams are some of our dearest friends. It's kind of like doing battle together, and we have bonded closer than brothers and sisters. May we finish strong in His grace and His glory. There should be some questions up there. Is there? Yet? Is there? There is. At least one, huh? Okay. So we got some questions, just four questions. Where have you seen the grace of God in your own life? Second one, how are you being involved in the Great Commission? In your family, neighborhood, work, city, and so forth. Third one, what is your biggest challenge in your Christian life? And four, how would you tell the story of your spiritual journey in your Christian life if you were asked? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time and thank you for the opportunity to share. Father, help us all to be more interested in sharing with people so they can enjoy heaven and so they can enjoy heaven on earth as well. And they can walk with you closely. Thank you for this time. Amen.